Good morning, Cowboys Nation. We're coming to you on another Tuesday morning of the Writer's Block. Thank you for tuning in for us again. And I am your host, David Howman, joined, as always, by my two incredible co-hosts, Brandon Clemens and Chris Halling. Guys, we're back, and we are full again. We are a whole show. We have all three of us back together again. Been a little touch and go the last few weeks. Some subs here and there and not having everybody together. Chris, welcome back. How are you? How happy are you to have all three of us back together again? It feels like it's been a while.
I'm so happy. You know, I mean, I think the most famous trio is obviously it's the triplets with Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. But I think we're the second most famous triplets out here. You know, it's all with David, Chris, and Brandon. I wonder which players we would be like. What positions would we be on the football field as triplets? What do you think?
I would be like the kicker.
The kicker? Fair
enough. What would you be? I can handle that.
I mean, you know, if I had a little more athleticism, I could have been like a Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley. Okay.
All right. Hey, that's some confidence.
Slot receiver. Good hands, but unfortunately, family traits say weak ankles don't do well when you're trying to run routes. So.
Fair enough. I would say, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I would probably be a tight end. I'd be a little, you know, I'd be a closer to older Jason Witten with my athleticism and my speed. You know, I won't get down the field very fast, but, you know, I'll have reliable hands. I'm a pretty big target. You know, I'm a tall guy. So, you know, like just throw it high. Maybe I'll get it.
You could be our Schoonmaker.
Oh, no, I'd rather be Ferguson. I don't want to be Schoonmaker. That was a bad pick.
Don't go down that soapbox.
Yeah, no, I think I totally spaced on what I was going to say. I had a really good joke, but so we've all missed out on that now. Chris, thank you for teeing me up for embarrassing myself here. But yeah, no, we are. I agree with the sentiment. We're the second best triplets out there. I don't think anybody would disagree with us. Brandon, between the three original triplets, Aikman, Irvin, and Smith, which one is your favorite? Tell us why, and also talk about just how happy you are that the whole gang is back together.
Yeah, for me, out of the three, I always liked the playmaker Michael Irvin. Like, I just love the way he played the game. Troy Aikman was obviously, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, in my opinion. Won a lot of football games for the Cowboys. But for me, you know, Emmitt Smith was my guy back in the day. Like, I loved the way he played, you know. And here's the thing, speaking of, like, the athleticism, like, he didn't run the great 40. Like, you know, he didn't check all those athletic boxes that, like, teams look for. But the guy just knew how to play football, and he just played so well. And obviously, all-time leading rusher, like, he's just a beast. Like, nobody's going to touch that record again, especially because of how the running backs are being used, which I know Chris will be touching on that in a little bit with the running back position. But Emmitt Smith, I still remember that game against the Giants. You guys weren't alive yet. You guys were still young. I remember as a kid watching Emmitt Smith separate his shoulder against the New York Giants. And he caught 10 balls that game. And, like, just it was a gutsy performance. Like, every time he touched the ball, every time he got hit, he was feeling pain all the way down his body. Like, he was just – to me, like, I remember that game so well. Like, I watched that game a few times. Like, what a gutsy performance. The guy was just so fun to watch. And I'm just glad he was he wore number 22 for the Cowboys. He was just so much. I just really enjoyed him. But again, I like all three. But if I gotta pick one, Emmitt Smith's probably my guy. And it's good to have everybody back. I know it's been kind of a revolving door the last couple weeks. So I'm glad we're all back in the saddle. Getting back in here. And I hope you guys had a good Father's Day weekend. I mean, I am the lone father in the group here, but it was a very busy weekend, and I had a lot of fun. Hope you guys and hope your fathers had a good Father's Day as well.
Yeah, and not to cheapen the experience of fatherhood, but I do have a child, an adorable dog. So I'm not saying it's the same thing, but no, it means the same thing to me. Brandon, well said about Emmitt Smith and how great he was, but the controversy around Smith of course, is he the best running back ever? You know, he has the record that will never fall. But then you got Barry Sanders, you got Walter Payton, you got Ezekiel Elliott, who I know we're all big fans of.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on, I'm going to have to cut you off here. You're naming all these great players, but the greatest running back of all time passed away, you know, in the recent memories, you know, went to the great, the oasis of Central New York, Jim Brown out of Syracuse University, greatest running back of all time.
Yeah, I was setting you up for that by not naming him. I knew you were going to.
I figured you were.
I respect to Jim Brown, but Emmitt Smith is clearly the best running back to ever touch a football field. I don't think it's close. He's the all-time leading rusher in yards and touchdowns. He has a regular season MVP, 3 rings, a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, no one will ever have his durability, his consistency at the running back position. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas when it comes to this running back debate. Yeah, oh, I buried and retire. Well, I mean, like, he did. Why are we debating, you know, if he played longer? I feel like Bo Jackson, you know, like, Bo Jackson is another one all. Like, he's one of the most athletic athletes ever. Like, what did he accomplish? Bo Jackson didn't accomplish anything, actually, really, in the NFL except just being a crazy athlete. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if you look at his box stats, I mean, if you look at his career rushing stats, Bo Jackson's rushing stats aren't that impressive. Like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Emmitt Smith is the best running back to ever touch a field. And number two is Walter Payton. So, you know, it goes 1, Emmitt, 2, Walter, 3, Barry. That's the way it goes. Because at the end of the day, Jim Brown was playing a bunch of plumbers. And he was playing a bunch of plumbers and mailmen. And, you know, I mean, it was a soft generation. But, I mean, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
We're coming out on fire for this episode.
He's a great person. And I mean, no disrespect to him as a person, but he's super overrated in the running back rankings, in my opinion. He's not even top 3. He might not be top 5.
You're crazy. All right, here's a fact. Here's
LT LaDainian Tomlinson. I don't know if I'm taking Jim Brown over LaDainian Tomlinson.
You're crazy. Yeah, we got to get you drunk. Prime
Adrian Peterson. Am I taking Jim Brown over prime Minnesota Vikings?
Are you serious? 2012?
Dude, Adrian Peterson was a monster.
Jim Brown was ahead of his time, dude. He was a
Brown beast. Playing against a bunch of unathletic.
Not even true. Come on. And here's the thing.
Watch the tape.
104.3 yards per game. He averaged 100 yards every game. Where's Barry Sanders?
Put Adrian Peterson out there in the 50s and the 60s and see him just run over everyone. He was running over some of the most athletic defenders out there. No, Jim Brown is overrated when it comes to the running back debate. He's overrated.
Jim Brown is one of the greatest athletes of all time. A lot of people don't know this because, you know, you guys aren't from Syracuse, New York, where I call home. He's actually known as one of the greatest lacrosse players.
Every morning you wake up and pray to Jim Brown every morning, right?
Dude, Jim Brown is one. Like, here's the thing. Go ask Tyreek Hill because he actually answered this question. Jim Brown has, you know, if you talk to anybody, any historian, Jim Brown is, if not the greatest lacrosse player, he's one of the greatest lacrosse players of all time. And that wasn't
even awesome. We're talking about the best running backs of all time.
Well, hold on. I'm tying it back in because Tyreek Hill – asked the question recently, who are the best athletes? And Tyreek Hill would know a thing or two because he's a pretty darn good athlete. And he said lacrosse players were the best athletes. And Jim Brown was one of the best at it. And that wasn't even his number one sport. Jim Brown, one of the greatest running backs of all time. He would have done the same thing in the 70s, 80s, 90s today. No question.
How would Tyreek Hill know? I'm not on board with the Jim Brown is overrated thing. Like, that's a little too spicy for me. But Tyreek Hill doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, he wasn't there watching the games. It's not like he had a little stopwatch on the side.
He knows athletes, man. You guys go watch that series on ESPN about it, all right? That's all I'm going to say.
Campbell is better than Jim Brown. Marshall Faulk might be better than Jim Brown.
Oh, my God. Oh, Chris, go watch some film, please.
Marshawn, I did watch film. He played in 1957. He played against a bunch of bums. There was no Ray Lewis. There was no Lawrence Taylor. There was no Reggie White out there. There was no Beast.
Every era. There's great players in every era.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. So a guy like Dick Butkus and Mike Ditka, they were beast back in those days in the 60s and 70s. Their games wouldn't translate today. You're crazy.
Tenacity, but they were probably on the slower side and, you know, like the not very athletic side. I'm sure that, here's the thing. Devon Achane running right around him.
Dick Butkus would knock him out of his cleats because Achane wouldn't know what hit him.
Contact. If he makes contact, here's the thing. I'm not making a case against Mike Ditka. You know, I mean, like, listen, he's a great hard-nosed linebacker. You know, I'm not.
Mike Ditka played tight end, by the way.
Tight end. He's a, you know, I was about to say, he's a great hard-nosed tight end.
Played for the Cowboys.
I got the positions mixed up with another all-time great. Hey, but what I'm
you did.
I did. But listen.
So everything you said about Jim Brown is null and void just off of that. There you go.
No, it's not because Jim Brown played a bunch of bums.
You're crazy.
Bums. He's probably the eighth or ninth best running back of all time, maybe.
Howman, reel your boy in. Let's talk about the current Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no, look. Hey, that was fun. I did not. Oh, just so you guys know, to the audience listening and watching, I mean, every single episode, like, we kind of, you know, plan stuff out. You know, we
real quick.
We try. Quick. We hold on.
No, okay. Listen. No. This has to be said real quick. I don't want my ball knowledge questioned here. It may already be out there and being questioned. I mistook Mike Ditka for Dick Butkus. Okay, so that was why I said linebacker. It's not the same person. I know Mike Ditka is a tight end. All right, that was just a slip of the tongue. My bad.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Thank you
for the slip up, not for saying one of the greatest running backs of all time is overrated. No, but like, yeah, for real. Like, we plan these episodes out. We plan what we're going to talk about. We did not plan to for this. So I hope everybody enjoyed that that sidetrack as much as I did.
And really quick, I don't want to go too far off the rails. We're gonna have to make sure we clip this, and we're gonna have to tag everybody in Syracuse for that for Chris's his comments. We'll see. He'll get torched.
Back to Jim Brown. I mean, you know, great guy from what I've heard, but he's just not better than Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, right. Barry Sanders.
We're gonna reel back in. I'm gonna move this along. So I mean, we're all due respect to Jim Brown, all due respect to Emmitt Smith, all these other running backs we've talked about. We're all talking about this without the context of having seen Royce Freeman in his Cowboys era. And I say that, one, because we all know he's going to be phenomenal, but two, because it ties into what we're going to be talking about in this episode, which is players currently on the Cowboys roster that are in danger of being preseason cuts. To be clear, we're not talking about, like, you know, obviously there's a bunch of players on this roster right now that will be cut at preseason. Like, we're not talking about the Deshaun Daxson or I think I got his name wrong, but one of the, you know, the undrafted free agents that are probably going to be practice squad guys. I'm looking up this guy's name because I think I got it. Denzel Daxson. Yeah, what a mistake I've made. Not as bad as mistaking Mike Ditka for Dick Butkus, but hey,
I think that's a fair mistake. I think that, you know.
But either way, like, we're not looking at, like, the guys that we know we're necessarily going to get cut. We're looking at who's a player that, if they got cut and it was a preseason cut, it would be at least a little bit of a surprise of, like, they had a legitimate shot of making the roster, at least according to most people, and could be a little bit of a surprise if they do get cut. So Chris, I've kind of teed you up a little bit already, little bit of maybe a spoiler, but who's your endangered Cowboys player?
It's Royce Freeman. Just to be honest, I don't think, you know, the Cowboys were hoped by fans, including me, that they would go out and actually bring in a running back if they weren't going to bring back Tony Pollard. Derrick Henry, you know, I heard a couple people out there wanted him to be a Cowboy. I don't know who, but
surely not you.
No.
I mean, honestly, I always thought that Saquon Barkley was going to be a little too rich for the Cowboys. I didn't really get my hopes up for that, but you know, whenever Aaron Jones was released, I thought for sure that that could be an option for the Cowboys. Because I mean, if there was ever a team that could see, you know, up front firsthand how good Aaron Jones could be, it would be the Cowboys. He absolutely crushes them every time he plays them, especially when it's an AT&T Stadium. They have no idea how to stop him. And you know, he signed with the Packers he signed with the Vikings for not a lot of money. So I think that was disappointing. You know, slowly we saw, you know, the Cowboys pass up on many different running backs, and their first free agent signing at that position wasn't Ezekiel Elliott, it was Royce Freeman. And you know, I just don't think that he's a guy who's gonna make it on this depth chart heading into the regular season. This past year he had 77 carries for 319 yards, averaged 4.1 yards per carry and 2 touchdowns. And you know, his contract isn't a very, you know, guaranteed heavy contract. He's only guaranteed $65,000. He has a dead cap of $65,000. I mean, I mean, it's a 1-year deal. I mean, it's very easy for the Cowboys to, you know, drop him and get out of that situation. It kind of reminds me of a Ronald Jones situation where the Cowboys, you know, brought him on and he didn't even see the field in the regular season. Obviously he had some issues and, you know, some things, you know, kind of interfered with it. That wasn't really, you know, expected. But, you know, it's not just because of Royce Freeman as well. I think that, you know, Deuce Vaughn is going to see, you know, I think that he's going to see an increase in reps. There were talks about him taking some reps at the slot wide receiver position, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I think the Cowboys, you know, don't have a clear slot wide receiver at the moment unless CeeDee Lamb is lined up there. But if CeeDee Lamb is lined up on the outside, then, you know, I think there is kind of a hole at that slot position until Jalen Brooks, you know, makes his name as the clear wide receiver 3 for the Cowboys. But, yeah, I think that obviously Zeke Elliott's going to make the team. I think it's pretty clear that Rico Dowdle is going to make the team after what he did last year. And then you're looking at that running back 3 position. I don't know how you could move on from Deuce Vaughn for Royce Freeman, because I mean, at the end of the day, you have to look at the future and you have to look at development. And you know, Royce Freeman is not going to get reps over Rico Dowdle or Ezekiel Elliott. At least Deuce Vaughn brings in some kind of a, you know, I mean, like, he brings in some kind of a skill set that is different from an Ezekiel Elliott. You know, I think Royce Freeman is another, you know, guy who's probably past his prime in the NFL. You know, he's kind of on the, you know, I mean, he's only 28 years old, so he's not, you know, super old, but he was never really a speedster to begin with. And, you know, I think he's kind of losing that burst even more so. So, you know, to me, I think it's maybe a camp body. That's it. And then, you know, maybe he, you know, is on the practice squad a little bit, but I don't see him having a clear role on this roster. And, you know, it's just annoying because it seems like the Cowboys do that sometimes where they just sign a guy in free agency. And like, their signings in free agency aren't even guaranteed to make the roster by week one. And it's like, we see, you know, hey, Howie Roseman, you know, go out and get Saquon Barkley and, you know, go out and get Bryce Huff and, you know, make all these big moves. And, you know, it's just, it just seems like the Cowboys don't just do nothing. They just are signing guys who will eventually get cut. So, you know, to me, you know, I mean, I have nothing against Royce Freeman. I hope that, you know, I hope that he can find some kind of success, you know, this upcoming season, but I don't think it'll be with the Cowboys.
Man, you're taking shots at all the running backs today.
I am, yes. Except for Derrick Henry. He should have been a Cowboy.
Except for Derrick Henry. He's your one true love at the running back.
Cowboy, and it was absolutely devastating that they didn't call him.
Yeah. Look, it wouldn't be like shocking if Royce Freeman is cut. I think when he was signed, we all kind of looked at it and said, he's this year's Ronald Jones. But to be fair, like you said, Ronald Jones, like he had an injury in training camp, kept him out of preseason games, then he had the suspension that kept him away. And then, you know, Deuce Vaughn had a great preseason. They really wanted to get him involved. We saw how that worked out when he had to go against, you know, first teamers. But you also had you know, Tony Pollard, you had Rico Dowdle, and he had a great year. Tony Pollard's not there anymore. Like, and Rico Dowdle, like, I said a couple of weeks ago, I think Rico Dowdle's the running back one. We made a bet. I forget. You said, Chris, you said you were going to shave your head if Rico Dowdle's running back one. Then you backed out a little bit later, but we still got you on camera. We're going to hold you to it. But either way,
there were stipulations involved with that. I think it came down to carries and playing. I don't think it was that clear. I think there were, you know, I think we're, you know, I think we're skipping over some fine print that was in that contract.
I'll have my lawyers look at it.
It was all on the stamp counts.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, like, I think we all agree, like, Rico Dowdle, Ezekiel Elliott are going to be the top two guys in whatever order. Deuce Vaughn, I have to believe, has some spot on this roster. I would be shocked if they cut him. But then it's like, okay, well, who's the fourth guy? That's essentially what Royce Freeman is competing for. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he's able to carve out a role for himself. I mean, you know, back when he was playing consistently and, you know, had a real spot in the NFL, he was very much a downhill power back kind of guy, which they didn't have last year. They've been kind of looking for. And, you know, even last year on the Rams, he was, you know, he was their top, like, reserve for Kyren Williams. He had 319 yards, 2 touchdowns. Granted, that's not very much, but he didn't have a heavy workload either. You know, I think the Rams showed that if you use him in that kind of role as, like, a third option in short yardage kind of situations, he can be productive.
Maybe, but that should go to Hunter Lipke, in my opinion. That's
and that could very well be the case as well, is that they reserve that role for Hunter Lipke. But also with Hunter Lipke, like we saw in his rookie year, once they started giving him the ball more in that Miami game, couldn't hold on to the ball. And, you know, that
Pollard could have just made a simple read. It would have never came down to that. But,
yes. You know. No, and you're right. And we're back to your coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, Barry Sanders and all that.
Yeah, you're right.
But no, I mean, I think, like, also speaking of the Rams and when we're talking about the Cowboys running back spot, like, the Rams, like, they had a great running back this year in Kyren Williams. He had 1,100 rushing yards, one of the, you know, most efficient running backs last year. That was his second year. He was a fifth-round draft pick. The year before, he had only 139 rushing yards. So when we're talking about the Cowboys running backs and, like, oh, Deuce Vaughn hasn't done much, Rico Dowdle can't be running back one, I look at the Rams, I look at the Browns, I look at all these teams that have had, you know, been able to have really effective rushing attacks with kind of a collection of players or players that, you know, came out of nowhere to have big years. We've seen Rico Dowdle flash some potential. We know Deuce Vaughn has potential. It's just a matter of really getting it all together. Royce Freeman has, you know, been successful in the past. His first 2 years, he had over 500 yards his first year. The second year, he came up 4 yards short of 500. Like, he can be a, you know, productive back in this running back by committee. I think it really just comes down to a numbers game, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's part of that running back committee, or Chris, like you said, if he gets cut. Brandon, what's your take?
So, you were onto something there, Hellman, and then, you know, you didn't get there. You didn't get to the finish line with Royce Freeman. You made up a good
– Well, I was teeing it up for you.
Apparently you were teeing it up, and I appreciate you on that. Here's the thing with Royce Freeman. I know he signed before Zeke, but I felt like the whole Zeke thing was going to happen at some point. But I think it was one of those things where I think it was going to happen regardless of the timing. I think those discussions were being had way before that. It seemed like they were going to work it out. So – I felt like the contact with Zeke was before the Royce Freeman signing. And the way I look at Royce Freeman, you mentioned it. You mentioned the whole – you're hitting on the part where he's a downhill back. You know, he's a short yardage kind of guy. Man, who does that sound like? That sounds like Ezekiel Elliott. That's what Ezekiel Elliott does these days. So, for me, I look at Royce Freeman as the Cowboys saying, okay, we're going to, you know, and take this as it, you know, as it is. Royce Freeman is Ezekiel Elliott's insurance policy. That's what it is. If Zeke gets hurt, Royce is going to fill in that role. I know Rico is probably going to be running back one. I think Hamlin and I agree on that, I believe. But I think Royce
Freeman – You're ready, Chris.
Royce Freeman – well, here's the thing. Royce Freeman's skill set is pretty good, a pretty good comparison to Ezekiel Elliott. So, for me, if Ezekiel Elliott gets hurt – you know, I'm not wishing that, obviously, but if something were to happen – Royce Freeman could be the insurance policy in case that happens. Because I see Zeke making the roster. I see Rico Dowdle making the roster. I see Deuce Vaughn making the roster. I do think it's going to be a two-headed monster in 2024. Rico Dowdle is going to be the 1A. Zeke's going to be the 1B. And then you're going to see Deuce Vaughn sprinkled in. He's going to do some patterns in the slot. They're going to have him on gadgets plays. They're going to have him as like a scat back, third down, old school kind of running back. He'll get his touches. But if I had to put a percentage on it for the three running backs, not Royce Freeman, I think Rico's going to get probably, I'd say, 55% of the snap counts. I would say, so what's that leave? I would say Zeke's about 35. And then what's that leave? 10% for Deuce Vaughn. I think that's a pretty fair number. Because here's the thing. 20 to 20, that's going to be Rico's game. Inside the 20, it's going to be Zeke's game. Everywhere else on the field, any other random situations, they're going to sprinkle Deuce in. Deuce will be that guy that's going to get 10%. And I think he'll do a great job of that. I like this situation where you have three quality backs. Royce Freeman, again, I'm just going to say it one more time. He's the Ezekiel Elliott insurance policy for 2024.
Real quick, Chris, and then you can go. Brandon, how confident do you feel in those percentages?
Very high.
Okay, let's say this. Like how Chris said he'll shave his head if Rico Dowdle's running back one, will you shave your beard if those percentages are not right, plus or minus 5%? Give you some wiggle room.
Bet.
Yeah? All right.
I'm good. All right. I'm back down like Chris.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm probably not going to shave my head regardless of what happens. But here's the thing. We already went over this. I look like Caillou. I have no facial hair. I can't do anything if I have a shaved head. You know, I'm the baby face here between the three of us who can't get facial hair. So, but anyway, to my point that I was going to say is there's two things wrong with what you said. One, even if your percentages are right, this is not a two-headed monster. This is like a two-headed, like, cuddly bear. This is not striking fear in any defense out there. No defensive coordinator is like, oh, man, we have a so-so run defense. Oh, man, we got to play the Dallas Cowboys. No, that's not happening this year. No one's afraid of Ezekiel Elliott. No one's really afraid of Rico Dowdle. And, like, I like Rico Dowdle. I like him as a cool, like, you know, I like him as a cool role running back, a cool complimentary guy. But no one's out here game planning to stop Rico Dowdle or Ezekiel Elliott. So that's your first error. Your second error is that those percentages are crazy. There is not a world where Jerry Jones is allowing Rico Dowdle to get 65% of the carries. There's just not 50, a world 50, that
55.
Ezekiel Elliott is not going to be on the bench for the Dallas Cowboys with this running back room because Jerry Jones wants to sell them tickets. He wants to sell them merch. He, you know, like he's all about the brand. And here's the thing. There were some really delusional Cowboys fans when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. There were people who really, really thought, even in the year that Tony Pollard was clearly better, that Ezekiel Elliott was the better running back. So these fans are not going to be happy if you bring back Ezekiel Elliott and then Rico Dowdle is out here getting the majority of the carries. You know, yeah, no, there's just – there's zero
– better player
play. Okay, I agree that's how it should be, but it won't be the case in Dallas.
It will because, be because he rushes for 2.3 yards a carry.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Okay, but here's the thing. If he rushes for 2.3 yards per carry, then that's just a clear indictment of the front office and the fact that they thought that was an okay signing and that, like, that was going to do it and they didn't even get it.
Use him as a short yardage back. He's still powerful enough. He doesn't have the juice that he had in 2016. Use him as the he's the power back. Rico should be the
20. I disagree with you. I don't disagree with your thought process. I think that that's correct, but I don't think that the Cowboys are going to agree with your thought process because Jerry Jones loves his players, his signing so much. Jerry Jones wants to prove to everyone that, you know, Ezekiel Elliott still has it. He's the guy who he signed to that big contract, what he saw in him. This is a redemption show. I mean, here's the thing. The Cowboys are going to have an underwhelming season this upcoming year compared to last year. And at least what Jerry Jones can have is some storylines, some feel-good stories, you know, some things to weather that storm and, you know, to bring in some revenue for the team. That's what he cares about. He just, yeah, no. Ezekiel Elliott is not just going to sit there on the bench.
Here's why you're wrong. I'm going to give you another reason why you're wrong. So let me ask you this. I put my finger up. And I mean, yes, I wanted to talk, but what is this? What is this? This is one, right? So let's see. Yeah, Mike McCarthy has what? 1 year left. Do you think Mike McCarthy is going to be like, bow down to Jerry Jones? If he thinks Rico Dotto is the better,
he probably will because he wants another contract extension. He probably will.
He knows he's a lame duck if he doesn't get to the NFC Championship game.
See, I mean, listen, Jason Garrett was a lame duck for how many years before he actually got fired? I mean, how many years did we think that you know, it was Jason's prove it year? He had to do something, and then he would do the same thing he did the previous year. And the
Cowboys, why is Jerry Jones giving him the contract then? If Jerry Jones has any confidence in Mike McCarthy at this point, why wouldn't he lock him in?
Maybe Mike McCarthy's like, you know what? If I just, you know, do everything Jerry tells me to, then maybe I'll get another.
Mike McCarthy's not going to do that, though. Mike McCarthy is going to do things the way he wants to do things. He's the head coach. If he thinks that Rico Dotto is going to give them the better chance of winning, I don't think even if Jerry Jones
does that, because he really liked the Zeke Elliott.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, but Mike McCarthy really liked
it. Hold on. Chris.
Like, who's to say he's going to like Rico more?
Chris. Can you at least admit that a two-headed running back tandem of Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott would put up historic numbers if they were playing against all those sissies that played in the 50s?
Yes. I will. Yes. 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 Well, okay. Okay. Like, here's the thing. I don't think that they're sissies because obviously you were allowed to get rid – or, like, obviously back then you were allowed to get away with crazy stuff. I mean, like, the whole penalties was very different. It's just like the NBA. The NBA back in the 70s and the 80s, very, very little talent, but they were allowed to clothesline people and get away with it. That makes them good basketball players. It just makes you tougher, and it makes you get away with stuff.
Wait a second. Michael Jordan played in the 80s, bro.
If you come on. Paul George in the 80s, they think he's a wizard with what he's doing with his handling and that. That's my whole argument, is that those players in the 50s and the 60s.
You just said the talent was bad in the 80s in basketball. Michael Jordan's the greatest of all.
The majority of them were. Obviously, that there's outliers.
No
way. But Michael
Jordan
can't keep up with the shooting of today's NBA. But that's not the point. Okay, listen. The whole point of this is that obviously those players were tough in the 50s and 60s, and they could, absolutely crush the quarterback in the backfield without a roughing the passer call and all these kind of things. But they weren't the same athletically gifted players. I think that a lot of backups in today's game would be starters back then just because of their athleticism. And, it's just a different time period. It's a different time period for all athletes.
Wait, so let me ask you this. So by your metrics, if you're a great athlete like Darius Hayward-Bate, you should be in the Hall of Fame, right?
No. I mean, it's all about your situation.
That's a deep
cut.
DHB.
It's all about the situation that you're in. Bill Russell is an all-time great. He's one of the best athletes of all time. But it's because he benefited from when he played. Bill Russell in today's game probably wouldn't be that impactful. He's a short center. He didn't really have an offensive bag like that. He was playing against a bunch of guys who were undersized. And every time he went up against Wilt Chamberlain was dropping him off. He just had a better team. So, I mean, that's how it is. It's no disrespect to him as an all-time great, but when you put him in comparison to today's players, I mean, it's just not going to, work out for him the same way that
today's players wouldn't survive back in the day because they'd quit. They'd quit because they're a bunch of babies nowadays. That crap.
I mean, like, okay, listen, maybe.
Chris. They would tap out.
It may be the case, but those players may not even catch the guys that are in today's game. I mean, way less athletic guys, way less skilled guys. I mean, like the whole quarterback play back then, there weren't. There are tons of quarterbacks now that are better than any of the quarterbacks.
Kevin Durant survived against the Pistons back in the 80s. I'm just like,
you put Kevin Durant in Bill Russell's era. A almost 7-footer running up and down the court, doing step back threes, pulling up from almost the logo.
3-point line back then.
Okay, I know, and he would still be pulling up from way deeper than anyone else. The people would be absolutely bamboozled.
I'm going to fly on the play.
This is great. I love it.
Guys, I love both of you. Please never change. But we are going to change the subject. I think we've talked – I mean, we definitely talked about Royce Freeman enough because we stopped talking about him entirely and somehow got into Kevin Durant versus Bill Russell. But, Brandon – going back to football, who's your endangered Cowboys player and why?
Well, I mean, Chris wasn't with us last week, and you know, we were sad to not have him on because, you know, he would defend his Jalen, Brooks. But I'm not going with that Jalen. I'm going with a Jalen named Tolbert as the last name, a recent third round pick, I might add. He's, to me, he's the guy that I feel like, if things break a certain way, I'm not like I said, I had to kind of, you know, tune it up a little bit last week because certain things would have to fall into place, which I could see happening, where Jalen Tolbert is the odd man out. I'm sick of this whole thing where it's like, well, he was a third round pick, blah, 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 blah. I don't care if he was a third round pick. Teams get rid of third round picks all the time. Look at the Niners. Look at the Niners that I talked about it last week. You know, they got rid of that running back from Ohio State, Trey Sermon, you know, like, and he was a third round pick. Like, like these type of things will happen if you don't produce. So for me, that sets the franchise back. If you're like, well, this guy was a third round pick and this guy's a sixth round pick, got to make sure we run with the third round pick as long as possible for the, you know, the detriment of the team and that potential better player in the sixth round, like a Ryan Flournoy, for example. But here's how I look at the receiving room right now. I still stand pat because Ryan Flournoy, shout out to Patrick Walker, Cowboys.com. You know, you got to trust the science. Like I always say, great coverage of Ryan Flournoy. Had a little bit of that Dez Bryant part of his game that No-C put out there. So, and No-C knows ball, and Hellman and I talked about it last week. He tore it up. He's been tearing it up, you know, in this the early – I call it the early camps because this is – we're not going to know for sure what's going to really happen until the preseason. Let's be honest. That's where things are really going to come in, and that's going to be just a handful of weeks away. But for me, CeeDee Lamb's receiver one, obviously – Brandon Cooks is receiver two. Now, we can't consider Jake Ferguson receiver three, but he's probably going to be a third option on this in the passing game this year. But I think Ryan Flournoy is still going to be the receiver three. I think he's going to surprise some people. I think he's going to ball out in camp. He's going to ball out in preseason. I think he's going to get that spot. And then I do, and you might like this, but I think Turpin's going to be like that receiver four or five because – of his special teams prowess, and he's a gadget player where he can, you know, he can just, you just get the ball in his hands. He's faster than everybody else. He's the kind of guy you want on the team. So I think I would consider him like a receiver four. And then wait for it. Jalen Brooks makes the roster as receiver five. Now here's the thing. Could they keep six receivers? Sure, they could. But in this scenario, Jalen Tolbert, I think he falls behind these players and I think he's the odd man out. But those things have to happen. If he has a halfway decent camp and the other guys I just mentioned are just kind of going through the motions, Jalen Tolbert's obviously got the front line. You know, he's in the pole position, so to speak. He's in that catbird seat where he's got a good shot of getting that spot. But if he doesn't perform well enough, Ryan Flournoy and your boy Jalen Brooks, like they come out, Kevontae Turpin I think is pretty safe. You get those guys rocking and rolling, maybe a Cropper Moreno. You know, some of the other guys like Durden, you know, for example, a former Boston Red Sox guy, Boston Red Sox prospect. I mean, somebody like that could sneak in. That's why, you know, it's pretty wide open besides the top two receivers, in my opinion. Obviously, Lamb and Cooks are locks. Jalen Tolbert, I don't think his spot is solidified as much as people might think.
I do want to point out before Chris gives his thoughts, because we know it's going to start with Jalen Brooks as the real wide receiver three. But Chris, I want to remind you, you also made a bet that if Ryan Flournoy is the wide receiver three in week one, that you'll shave the Adidas logo into your eyebrows.
Hey, listen, I'll have, I mean, in a hypothetical world, I'll have the Adidas logo in my eyebrow. I'll be bald. I'll have a, I'll be looking like a character out here.
it'll teach you not to make here's bold predictions like that.
But here's the thing. Okay, first off, it's not bold. Second off, one thing I want to say too is that the Cowboys were a smart organization. None of these players would have been wide receiver three, and wide receiver three would have been Tyler Boyd, who just signed a 1-year, $4.5 million contract with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, that's a clear wide receiver three. It's a good wide receiver three too. Like I think that Tyler Boyd, I think that's a very good wide receiver three. He was a great wide receiver three for the Bengals. I mean, that's a guy who I think also signed for pennies on the dollar, and it still wasn't enough for the Cowboys, who clearly have a need at wide receiver three. I mean, this offense isn't going to be very threatening next year, in my opinion. It's just, you know, I mean, having this conversation and arguing about Jalen Tolbert and Royce Freeman and all these names, it's just a further reminder that, you know, this Cowboys team is probably going to win 10 games at best. And I just, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough. And I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be a direct correlation to how poorly they handled this offseason.
I love the positivity, Chris. We started this show with like Jim Brown is garbage. He's like, yeah, like he's
not garbage. He's overrated. He's terrible.
Like Bill Russell ain't nothing. He wouldn't survive in today's NBA. And now it's like, yeah, no, the Cowboys are terrible. They have no good receivers. Like they're, you know, they'll be lucky to win 10 games. They should, they should pack up and just move the team.
No, well, I mean, it's just frustrating because, I mean, listen, the fact that we're having an argument right now about Jalen Tolbert or Ryan Flournoy being a wide receiver three on a starting NFL team just like makes me realize that we're just not sitting in a great seat right now for Cowboys football. And it's going to really come down to how good is Dak, how good is Micah, how good is, you know, Trayvon and Bland and CD, how good are these superstar. You know, I think the Cowboys are very top heavy at this point, and I don't think that's a secret. And how much can those, you know, great stars really carry the load for this team? Because, I mean, if something happens to them or, you know, they have a step back in, you know, production, then I think we're going to be sitting here and we're going to be like, wow, we should have, you know, been a little bit more aggressive in bringing in some other talent, you know, as an insurance policy.
Well, I'll agree with you that, like, the idea of the Cowboys picking between Jalen Tolbert and Ryan Flournoy as their receiver three is like not that exciting, but I also like, I don't think that's the debate. Like it's Jalen Tolbert's spot. And that's why I can't go along with Brandon on this. You can like wave your hand at me all you want. I think you're as crazy as all the stuff Chris has said in this episode. Much respect to both of you. But Jalen Tolbert's the wide receiver three. That ain't going to change. Like, barring injury, he's your wide receiver three. The only thing that's going to change there is when they're bringing in Jalen Brooks to run block because he's proven to be a great run blocker. And when they bring in Kevontae Turpin to be a slot receiver when they move CeeDee Lamb outside because of the speed and size mismatch that he creates. But Jalen Tolbert's going to be your number one wide receiver three, which is – That's too many numbers to throw out. As I was saying it, I knew that I was messing it up. But you know what? It's been a sloppy show for all of us. So you can spare me this one slip up. But no, I mean, with Jalen Tolbert, like last year we saw legitimate growth and improvement from him. And you have to imagine that's only going to continue. It's his third year in the NFL. It's his second year in this offense. He's got to know Dak Prescott better. When he was throwing his way last year, you saw some real like chemistry there, whether it was those big physical catches in the back of the end zone, whether it was adjusting on the scramble drill, like they started to get in sync. And the reality is being the wide receiver three, when you've got CeeDee Lamb and you've got Brandon Cooks, two receivers that defenses have to respect. And not to mention, like, I think Brandon was the one who mentioned it. Jake Ferguson is realistically wide receiver three because he's going to be that third option. So realistically, Tolbert is number four in the pecking order of how defenses attack you. Like, you don't really have to do too much to be productive in that kind of role. And what we saw from Tolbert last year in terms of growth, I think, gives me a lot of confidence that he's going to be able to fill that role and he's going to be able to fill that role well. Brandon, before I move on and talk about my endangered player, tell me, have I persuaded you at all? Do you still think I'm crazy? And you're wrong if you think so.
Yeah, you're crazy. You're wrong.
Right. Well, we're going to go ahead and kick you off the show now, but,
bye.
But yeah, I mean, we're, like you said, we're all going to get to figure out the real answers to all this stuff. Once we get to the preseason, once we get to training camp, and thank God it's almost here. You know, every week that comes, we get one step closer to real Cowboys content. But before then, we still get to churn out all these hot takes and make different pledges to shave off various hairs on your head. I will not be partaking in any of these, just so you know. But the guy that I think is perhaps most in danger of being a surprise cut is not on the offensive side, is not a skill player, but it's actually Chauncey Golston. And I'll preface this by saying I love Chauncey Golston. I was very excited when the Cowboys drafted him. I've been very excited to see him like glow up with the Cowboys since he got here. It hasn't really happened. And the reason I think that Golston could be in trouble here, one is because he just hasn't really produced. But two, when the Cowboys got Chauncey Golston, he was an edge player. And at Iowa, he had been an edge player, but kind of a, you know, a on the bigger side of defensive ends, but still very much fit into that edge player, more as an edge setter in the run game. And then Dan Quinn, as he has done, you know, with several other players, was like, oh, we're gonna play you inside. You need to bulk up to play three technique. And so then he starts bulking up, but then they still used him on the edge. They put him at edge, put him inside, made him a tweener. Going into last year, they were like, we're just putting you at defensive tackle. At the same time, they also drafted Viliami Fihoko, who was another draft crush of mine, another defensive end who was kind of a bit of a tweener, physically speaking. And Dan Quinn did the same thing and said, we're going to play you only at defensive tackle. And of course, Fihoko, you know, didn't actually play throughout the season. He was on the roster, but was inactive every single game. And so now they have Mike Zimmer coming in. He likes bigger guys on the defensive line. And I just wonder, you know, with Chauncey Golston, like, what does he do with him? Is he still playing inside at defensive tackle? If he is, has he gotten bigger? Because he would have to fit in Zimmer's scheme. Also, you've got Viliami Fihoko, who, if he stayed inside, then, you know, he pretty much could make Chauncey Golston expendable as well. And if they're both moving out to the edge, well, you've got obviously Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, who are the top guys. You just drafted Marshawn Nealon. You've got Sam Williams. Like, there's a lot of bodies there to kind of sort through. And I wouldn't be entirely shocked if Chauncey Golston just kind of gets lost in the scrum here, with Fihoko being like too young to give up on that investment and the long-term development plan they saw with him. But also Chauncey Golston having been here for a while and not really done much, to where Mike Zimmer says, "Yeah, let's just go ahead and cut him loose." Chris, am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I think that there's a lot of, you know, players on this defensive line who have more to show than him at this point. And I think that there's players who at least offer some kind of a, you know, I guess like an intrigue for their future. You know, I mean, Sam Williams, I wouldn't keep Chauncey Golston over Sam Williams. I wouldn't keep him over Marshawn Nealand, obviously. You know, and I mean, I think when you look at this, at this defensive line, I just, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't really see a spot for Chauncey Golston. So I think that it's a good pick. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, you mentioned some great names. I mean, obviously Nealon's not going anywhere. We just drafted him in the second round. I think, you know, I mentioned the whole thing about Tolbert in the third round, but that was a few years ago. Nealon's a brand new second round pick, so he's going to get as many chances as he can possibly get. I'm just looking down the list here. I mean, who do you keep him over? I mean, I think Junior Fa'oko. I really think Junior's gonna, you know, I think he's gonna be one of those guys where he's gonna be on the inside. I mean, Mazi Smith, obviously. Osa is a beast. You know, I'm looking here. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a Justin Rogers somehow makes the team, you know, or not Denzel Daxton. I know that was Hammond's favorite guy from earlier. Carl Davis was another guy that, you know, is another possibility. I think it could be an odd man out. I think they could go a little bit light along the interior per se, because there are guys like DeMarcus Lawrence that have the size to play on the interior if they need to. And you could also, you know, I'm looking, you know, looking at the roster here. I mean, I think you're right. Like, you're not keeping Golston over Sam Williams, for example. Like, Sam Williams is going to stay on the roster. I think he's shown enough where he's going to be on the team, especially after we lost Dorrance Armstrong to Dan Quinn and the Commanders. But I think, you're going to see a lot of guys that are prototypical edge players, but they have the size to play inside, where we could see that in especially, as I like to call it, I call it like the Lamborghini package is what I call it, where you get four legit pass rushers. You put like Tank Lawrence on the inside, you know, and you obviously have Micah Parsons in there, maybe a Sam Williams. Like, you just have four elite pass rushers that are just in, like, big enough to play, you know, inside and then, you know, on the outside as well. I could see that, you know, being part of the formation. I don't know if they're going to carry that many. And I think Chauncey, I mean, I'm looking at his stats here. I mean, I'm looking at his career. He's played in 47 games. In those 47 games, he's had 38 solo tackles and 3.5 sacks. Like, I mean, he's done good in the run side of things. Like, he's a really good run defender. I think he sets a pretty good edge. But I think he's the odd man out for one particular reason. The Cowboys just drafted Marshawn Nyland, and I think if you draft a guy that high at that position, there's going to be somebody who's going to be a surprise cut, and I think Golston is the guy that could be that cut. I've always thought Golston, at least in the last year or two, I felt like he was a fringe 48/53 player on the roster, but he stuck around. I just think, you know, it's a numbers game. And I think, I mean, I'm looking here. I mean, let's see. DeMarcus Lawrence, Sam Williams, Mazi, Osa, Micah, Nyland. I mean, you go down this list. You can only keep so many bodies, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, that's another, you know, I mean, could they go heavy and keep him? Sure. But who would you rather have? Would you rather have them go deeper, maybe at safety, or Chauncey Golston? I might go deeper at safety to keep a guy potentially like a Marquise Bell on the team, for example.
But that's right. And I think, like, to your point, for Golston really like to have a spot on this roster, it kind of needs to be a defensive tackle, because like Osa's making the team, Mazi's making the team. Justin Rogers is probably making the team as that backup nose behind Mazi. And if it's not him, it's probably Carl Davis.
Yeah.
I would be a little surprised if they kept Davis and Rogers behind Mazi and had three nose tackles and 1-3 technique in Osa. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was like Mazi and either Rogers or Davis. And then with Golston as basically the backup 3 technique behind Osa. But that being said, I mean, if you're playing him at defensive tackle, I mean, the guy was last measured and is listed on the team's website at 268 pounds. That's pretty slim for a defensive tackle, even for a Dan Quinn defense, but especially for a Mike Zimmer defense. He likes his guys, even those pass rushers, to be a little closer to the 290, 300-pound range. So you're asking him to either bulk up or just, like, you know, be playing undersized, which was a big part of the reason why this run defense was so bad under Dan Quinn. So I also wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys are still looking at the market at defensive tackle. I know Linval Joseph is still out there. He has a history with Mike Zimmer. Also, usually around preseason cut time, there's other players that get cut that come to other teams, and they might, you know, be in the defensive tackle market at that point. But if Chauncey Golston is playing as a defensive end, which I think is his more natural fit anyway, it's hard because they got a lot of guys there, a lot of guys who deserve a roster spot. And like I said, I like Chauncey Golston. I hope he finds a way to make the team. But, you know, looking at the current construction of that, and then also, like you were saying, Brandon, looking at all the guys that they got at corner, at safety, even at linebacker, like, there's going to be some hard decisions, and it might come down to Chauncey Golston's the one who gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I agree. That's what it comes down to. I think you hit on that. I think there's other positions where I think they're going to go a little bit deeper. Like last year, let's be honest, like the Cowboys didn't carry many linebackers, which I think would preserve a guy like Chauncey Golston's career, because, you know, they kept extra bodies on the defensive line. But I think because the Cowboys, for example, you know, obviously safety is what I mentioned. Linebacker is a good point too, because they brought in some, you know, some talent at the position. You know, obviously Kendricks is coming in. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be the alpha linebacker at this point. He's the veteran guy. Obviously Clark's in another year under his belt. And then obviously, you know, we're going to see DeMarvin Overshown. We're going to see how he looks. Maris Leifau. Like, I mean, there's going to be some competition at linebacker this year. And I think because they're going to carry more linebackers, and I think they're going to go maybe just a touch heavy at safety, maybe not as heavy as they were in the past, but I still think they may go just a little bit heavy at linebacker and safety. I think the defensive line position is going to be reduced to by at least one position that we're used to. And I think Chauncey's that guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm glad that our last part of this episode ended with such unanimous agreement. Like, we didn't have anything to fight over after all of the dissension, all of the hot takes being thrown at each other. Yeah, like what a great way to end. We all agree. We all say, yeah, Howman, that's a great idea. You were spot on with that, which is not out of the usual. I'm used to hearing that from you guys. Usually you heap praise upon me, right?
I don't know about that one.
I guess.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up before we spoil that good feeling I had. Thank you, Chris, as always. But yeah, no, I mean, again, it was a great time with you guys having the triplets, the second best triplets out there back in the house. Certainly had some fun talking about Jim Brown and the NBA, just as we planned it. Make sure to come back next week for more discussions, hopefully all focused on football. So, you know, tune back in next week for the next episode of the Writer's Block with Chris Holling, with Brandon Clemens. I'm David Howman signing off this week. And remember, always go Cowboys.